There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He is the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life. The mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I save the Lord will be unto her. A wall of fire round about and be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship our true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press reset. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ, and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. He hears your heart cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good evening. Hallelujah. That is an awesome intro. Glory to God. You joined the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center, where the broken are made whole by God. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful way to start. And this is your host, Bishop E.G. Baird, along with Hallelujah, Minister Jerry Cleveland. Amen, sir.
Amen. Bless God. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I tell you, every time I hear that, I played that earlier today in the morning worship. Glory to God. That's just a kicker. I'm going to tell you, he actually starts you on your day. It keeps you motivated. It just lets men know, hey, we got to stand tall for Christ. Hallelujah.
Praise yes. Amen.
And I guess, Minister Jerry, I guess we got to tell folks they need to get the composition notebooks and that Bible out and whatever else
yes, sir.
They're going to need.
get your pencils, your pens.
Tonight, aren't we?
Amen. Let's get your pencils, your pens, your highlighters, your paper Bibles, or your digital ones, and get ready for the Spirit of God to lead, give you a leading word.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we thank God for this opportunity. In fact, Father God, we praise and do magnify your name. We give you the glory, we give you honor and the praise, Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that your Holy Spirit just meet us at the point of our needs and then give us superabundantly above. And Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings to be added to the men's fellowship on today. Every man, every family is represented on this call tonight, Lord. Bless, anoint, stay filled with your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let the signs again, let the signs, wonders, and miracles flow in Jesus' name. Amen.
Woo, amen, amen.
Look, we got a hot one tonight.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you why. I think it's a hot one, and then, Judge, you can comment on what I'm saying. Just a half an hour, maybe not even a half, maybe 20 minutes before the program was to start, we got a call that somebody needed prayer for their daughter, as because they were in a little trouble. Because they discipline a bitch. And sometimes, I know how we were disciplined when we were young. Well, when I was coming up, I'm older than Minister Jerry, so how I was coming up, we met the rod of correction or the strap of correction or the tree limb of correction. Lord have mercy. And right or wrong, we grew up halfway decent. Is that right?
That's about right, Pastor.
You know, a lot of times, things that our parents did, you look at it now, you say, well, I know if they were doing the same thing now that they did then, we revisit them in jail. God.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. But you know what?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
But you know, if you do today like we did then, you're right. They might be visiting somebody in jail, but at the same time, they wouldn't be building as many jails.
That's
because
right. You know what?
Oh, yes, sir.
That is so true, you know.
Oh,
a lot of parents today are really reticent, are hesitant in disciplining their children because of the threat that hangs over their heads.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? We have to re-look at discipline. And there's a scripture that I was trying to, because it came at the last minute, I wasn't able to do my research. The scriptures I needed. I was getting ready to go there, but it got kind of late. But
that's okay, Bishop. I got one right here for you.
Oh, great! Because what the scripture talks about, God disciplines whom He loves. He chastens whom He loves. In other words, discipline is an act of love. That's number one. Y'all got to understand that. What's that scripture, Minister Jerry?
I have Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves disciplines and loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Okay, that's what it says.
Praise God. So the bottom line, daddies, I know that for the most part, the men are the disciplinary in the family. The first thing that you got to have on your mind when it's time to discipline, you got to have love. Discipline is an act of love. It's a spiritual act. And I love this child. You cannot discipline, y'all. Don't do this. Do not discipline when you're angry, upset, dismayed. You're emotionally high. Don't discipline when you're in the flesh. You know, don't discipline because of your fear. The decision to discipline is a spiritual decision. And all spiritual decisions should be motivated, in other words, should be done with a spiritual, a spiritual motivation. I'm not stressed out to punish somebody. I want to let them know that God wants them to do thus and so, because it'll save their life. It should be a spiritual motivation behind the spiritual act of disciplining. I mean, sometimes, you know, look here, you done told the child 15 times, don't put your feet on the coffee table. Your feet's up for the floor. Your shoes are for the floor. And you come home, open the door quickly, and there it is. He got his feet up on your coffee table again. Now, emotionally, you're upset. That's when you really need to count 1, 2, 3, 4, or you need to calm down. Because if you discipline upset, physically, emotionally out of control, you can hurt your child or that person. You don't want to do that. That's not an act of love. What do you think about what I just said, brother?
Well, you know, Bishop, if you discipline out of carnality, then that means that you're sowing carnality, and you will reap the benefits of of that carnality. But if you sow out of the spirit, and the spirit is the spirit of love, then you get a different result. So you may not line up with what the world calls discipline, but you won't line up with the results of what they get when they discipline in that manner, out of carnality, out of anger, out of stress. You're absolutely right.
Because, and you know, the seed you sow is the crop you grow.
It's the crop
you
grow.
So if you are going to discipline in anger,
you're going to raise the angry child.
Like you almost like some kind of tiger from the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're teaching your child. Now, the Bible says that in Proverbs, the train of a child and the way they should go. They shouldn't go that way.
That's right.
You're training them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's important for you to understand. In fact, Galatians 5:16 and 5:25 says, walk in the Spirit.
Right. That's what we're talking
Live
about.
Live in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to approach even discipline spiritually.
From the Spirit.
That's and sometimes right. You got to back off. You got to actually say, wait a minute. You see, and of course, you done told the child 15 times, and then he finally sees you, and he immediately takes his feet off of the coffee table. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You know your flesh is, now see, mm-hmm. You ain't stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you upset and your flesh is out of control. Is that right?
That's absolutely.
I mean, you're old enough to know when you got to go to the bathroom. You know when your flesh is telling you, I ought to break his neck. But you can't do that. So you know you got to calm. There got to be a peace in your spirit.
That's right.
That's when you know that God is with you.
Yes.
That you have peace and discipline. Because real peace comes from God. So you might not be able to discipline right away.
Mm-hmm.
You might have
or to. In the way Excuse me, as soon as I
come from the bathroom, and you go to the bathroom, don't put no holes in the wall or anything that you're upset. Calm down. You might have to go to the kitchen and get yourself a glass of water or a glass of lemonade, some tea, and come up and just sit down. You may want to sit down in the kitchen. They're still in the living room, somewhere, and just sit down and take your time and drink that lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel that you are calmed down, then you go stepping in there. Son, was there a problem going on when I came in the door?
Mm-hmm.
And you listen to what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, I had my feet on, you told me so many times. Then you ask them, okay. Because, see, you got peace now. You ain't emotionally upset. Your emotions aren't running amok. You say, now, what do you think I ought to do? Oh, this is so blessed. Mm-hmm. You ask him. You ask the child, what do you think I ought to do about this?
Mm-hmm.
And wait, often, they will tell you worse stuff than what you was going to do. Say, well, they may ground you for, they might, you may want to think about grounding them for a week or whatever. Or taking the TV out of their room, they will come up with stuff like, I think my birthday is next week. I don't think you ought to give me anything for my birthday because I don't listen. They come up with stuff worse than what you was going to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that comes from, number one, you love your child. You don't hate your child.
That's right.
The Bible says, God loves whom he chastens. Discipline is an act of love. I know people quote, a spatter rod for the child. That ain't in the Bible like that. There is a time that's called a corporal punishment where it might be necessary. It's to put them on a different direction. There may be, you may have some children, and you may have like a child that keeps smacking and hitting that one of their siblings. And you know, I've told them about this several times. Well, you may have to do something about that. Not may have to do something. You're going to have to do something about that. But you can't. Your discipline should not be a knee-jerk reaction. Is that the right word, Minister Jerry?
Yes, sir.
A knee-jerk reaction. Oh, they're doing this. I'm going to do this to them. It shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
It should be a conscious effort to, with discipline, show the love of God. Is it easy? No. But you got to do it because you don't want to raise up another generation of children who, when they grow up, they smack their children around with the knee-jerk reaction. You did this, pow, pow, and smack them all over the place.
That's right.
And get in trouble with the law because now you get in trouble with the law. Lord have mercy.
Not only do you get in trouble with the law, but you mismanage and you take the relationship in a different direction in a way that it shouldn't go. There are a lot of boys and a lot of fathers who separate when they become teenagers. And they don't speak to each other for years sometimes. And some of them, depending on what it is and what happened, don't speak to each other ever again. when they get 13, 14, 15 years old and they start thinking that they're going to take over the manhood or they're going to take over everything in the house because daddy's too old or whatever, whatever. But it changes the relationship of the father and the son, and that is a mismanagement of the relationship in the household, because the sons are there to help. They are there to help to manage, and so they have to be guided in that way. They cannot be beaten that way. They have to be guided, and it takes a lot more effort to restrain yourself and to bring this thing into a manageable way so that it maintains the relationship and keeps it intact. And that's what you want. You don't want to butt heads with your sons. You don't want to butt heads with your daughter. You want to structure this. You don't want it to go awry so that somebody gets hurt. And now they're not only hurt physically, but they're hurt mentally, they're hurt psychologically, they're hurt emotionally, all of that, yes. And they feel whenever daddy comes in, they feel a certain kind of way because daddy's not going to sit down and try to fix this. Daddy's going to wait for you to come and try to fix this. That's old school daddy I'm talking about, I think. We're talking about old school, yeah. We're talking about old school management. That's mm-hmm. the old school daddy, and that's the old school way, right?
Well, you said something that I love, the word that you use, restraint. We need to restrain
mm-hmm.
emotions. You know, it's like the tail that the dog wags.
Mm-hmm.
It's not supposed to direct our actions. The tail
mm-hmm.
does not direct your actions. Your
right.
emotions should not direct your actions.
Mhm. Mhm.
It may be a way of saying whether you're happy or sad or whatever, but it's not the director. It's not supposed to direct what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And see,
mm-hmm.
I share with many people, especially in the church, that the life is an open book test, and the subject of life is love. Everything you do must be predicated on love. Even when you're dealing with your enemies, the Bible says love them. Thank God.
Right
the Bible says, oh, no man but to love them. So in your discipline, you got to say, now how can I do this and show love? Not after I beat them up,
mm-hmm.
but before I do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think one of the ways, you know, that's clear to see is to make them see where they got off track.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean to take a little more time with them? I think so. Because the seed you sow is the crop you grow. So if you take a little time, if you are restrained in your response, like I said, if you're upset, Don't you deal with discipline when you're upset, when your emotions are high, when you're red hot, when you're burning up, when they could fire egg on your head. I mean, you really uptight. You go get your lemonade, sit down in the kitchen you got to do an Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know what Arnold Schwarzenegger said? He said, "I'll be back."
Oh, yeah.
He told the folk in the police station, "I'll be back." Well, you got to say, "Son, I'll be back." And you go and go to the kitchen, get that lemonade or iced tea or coffee or Uncle Ben's or Captain Morgan. No, I'm only joking, y'all. But sit down and chill. Because the only way that you can successfully deal with discipline is that you have the peace of God over you.
That's right.
yeah. the peace of God. You can't have the rage of the enemy and discipline your children, because you might have to call 911 to come and resuscitate your child.
That's right.
And I know we say to ourselves, boy, I'm going to knock you into next week. You don't really mean that. You know, so you need to get that temper, that emotion under control, because you're supposed to control it. It's not supposed to control you. It's not supposed to lead you, because you know where emotions from the flesh. That's carnal, and the flesh want to take you down, because it's at war with God.
Yes.
And it wants to get your whole body in trouble. And so in that moment, the devil will try to just, yeah, man, you ought to knock him in the next week. Oh, who do you think he is? Well, all these thoughts come here. Where are they coming from? They're not coming from God. God said, look here. These children, hey, that's what the kingdom of God. You come to me as a dead child. That's what comes from God. The devil's whispering in your ear, oh, knock him out. He ought to be shaming himself. Oh, you know, your grandpappy saw this. Oh, you know, grandpappy would have done something really, really bad. Oh, yeah, your grandpappy did it, and you did it. You grew up halfway decent. So, no, the peace of God, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious to get him. I'm going to get him because I'm going to get him. No. The word of God says be anxious for nothing. Let the peace of God, which is surpasses all understanding. Other folks won't understand you. Folks will say, what did you do to him when he did this? I shut down. I chilled out. I got my emotions under control, my flesh under control. Then I thought about what the word of God says about what he did. Then I went out there and I sat down and I talked to him. I said, now, what do you think we ought to do because of this action? That you deliberately did something that you know was not correct. What should I do? Now, if they say, well, baby, you said, no, I want to show love to you. Well, I think you ought to buy me a new bicycle. No, I said love, not foolishness. You don't reward bad behavior. So what do you think I ought to do? What do you think your punishment should be? Because you got to remember that you did something wrong. Now, I don't say put them out the house. But, you know, there was a couple did something wrong, and God drove them out of the garden. Drove them out of the garden. They lost everything. I was way back when. But, see, we under the new dispensation. It's called grace. So we deal with the peace of God. Your discipline. See, again, disciplining is a spiritual act. And the motivation of your discipline, when I say motivation, or what you do as a response or action, although the action was probably a carnal action, is a spiritual motivation. I don't want to destroy this child. I don't want to put a gulf between me and this child. But I gotta let them know that what they did is wrong. Because if I don't do it, the blood is gonna be on my hands. So that's how you kind of look at your stuff. But you can't look at it in anger. See, that was not a commandment: to be angry and sin not. That wasn't a commandment: be angry. Now the second part is sin not. That's a commandment. Don't sin. But anger is not a commandment. You don't have to be angry. Stand on the word of God. That's why I said life is an open book test. There's folk in the Bible that did the same thing or worse stuff than this child did.
Yes.
Go to that. Look in the word of God. Take your time. Just calm down. See, while you're looking at the scripture, that's calming yourself down. And then when you come out there, you come out with the word of God too.
Yes.
That's teaching your child something.
Well, you know what, Bishop, when you sit down and you calm yourself down and you do it the love way, you want to share the love, you want to show the love of God, and you don't want to tear up the relationship. It takes some discipline. And it takes some structure, like you said. It doesn't. You don't want the knee jerk reaction. You want the God like reaction.
Hallelujah.
Yes. So you want what would God? What would Jesus say?
What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? Here's the key.
Yeah.
You know, I preached this several weeks ago, and I mentioned it. I mentioned it from time to time. We live in four zones. One of four zones.
Mm-hmm.
Either the twilight zone,
mm-hmm.
just out there, Lord, the dead zone, ain't nothing going on, or the comfort zone, or the God zone. Now, the comfort zone, because it's comfortable, they did something, I'm going to get them. I'm knocking them into next week. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
Boom. That's comforting. He did dust himself. I'm going to knock him dust himself.
That's not comforting to the spirit of God, that's only comforting to the flesh.
You want to say that again?
That satisfies the flesh. That's comforting to the flesh. You know, it's like a boxing match. You know, when you win, you know, you're comfortable. It comforts you. It gives you a good feeling. You know, it satisfies. You know, but when you sit down with your child and you have that rage under control, you have that anger under control, you have that dislike, dissatisfaction under control, there's a certain kind of satisfaction that comes with that, that you didn't just turn it loose and turn everything upside down. You know, Hebrews 12 and 11 says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness
to those
who have been trained by it.
You know what? See, here's the key. See, discipline doesn't start with the child. Discipline starts with you.
It starts with you.
You got to discipline yourself, yourself, so that you start this thing with love.
Yes.
If love is not on your mind when you're getting ready to talk to your child, you're out of order.
Yes. Yes, you're not going to get the peaceable fruits of righteousness out of this.
You are out of order. The first thing that God talks about in Galatians 5:22 is love.
Right.
And so when you're disciplining your child, the first thing that will come on your mind is not, I'm going to get them. And grandma said, a hard head makes a soft behind. That should not come up in your mind. What should come up is, how can I show this child that I love them in this situation, too? Discipline starts with you. You have no right to discipline a child if you can't discipline yourself. Watch out now. I feel rain coming through the place.
Oh, yes. Oh, man.
If you can't discipline yourself, you can't discipline a child. If you can't control yourself, how in the world are you going to control a child? Thank you, Holy Ghost. I feel my help coming. Hallelujah. See, folks don't understand it. But the Bible said, afraid of our soul and child. He didn't say that like that. It ain't in there like that. You give me book, chapter, verse where it says it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Folks, y'all need to understand, discipline starts with you. Discipline yourself. When you go to talk to your child because of something that they made a misstep or they made a faux pas or whatever, think about love and think about, am I disciplined? Am I in control of myself? Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to teach my child how to be out of control.
That's right.
I don't want to teach my child how to respond to others when they do something that causes you dismay. Because, see, they'll take what you do in the house, and they'll take it out on the street. Somebody do something to them, they're ready to kill them, and you hear them, folks being killed, kids up in school being stabbed and shot in school. I wonder where they learned that from. You got to teach your children discipline by disciplining yourselves, parents. Before you start trying, daddy, before you try to discipline those boys or those girls, discipline yourself and show that you got discipline. Because it takes discipline to walk in the house and see this knucklehead that you feed, clothe, and all that kind of stuff, keep a roof over their head, and you have told them 15 times to keep their feet off the coffee table, and they got their feet on the coffee table. It takes discipline to say to them, son, I'll be back. And you go to the kitchen, pour yourself lemonade. Don't drink it quick now, because you ain't under control yet. Oh, I drank that too fast. Okay, let me get another glass. Get a straw and take it slow. And you know when your temperature goes down. You know. You ain't stupid. You know when you're not red hot angry anymore. When the peace of God comes over you.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, how can I show love, Lord? Lord, ask, tell me how to show love to this child. I've got to correct them. How to show love. You ask God for everything else. Lord, give me a boat. Give me a house. Give me a husband. Give me a wife. Give me a this. Give me a that. Show me how to show love. This disobedient girl or this disobedient son. I think I done hit the nail on the head. I think God hit the nail on the head. We got to stay on track. In everything we do, all of a sudden we go off track because somebody did something they ain't supposed to do. No, you got to keep showing love. Go ahead, Minister John.
Yeah. You have to keep showing love. Whoever spares, this is Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his child. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him.
And
if you love your child,
swinging him side the head.
No, it means
it
that
mean
you're diligent.
Go out there and get a switch. You know, because in the old days, mama used to tell you, or grandma.
Oh, yeah, go get one.
I pick a switch on that tree, boy. Yeah, any old switch. Yeah, get that switch over there. I mean, and she used that switch on you. And I've heard people say, well, after you finish beating them, you tell them you love them. If you need to tell them, say, I love you. You need to start off with love.
Mm-hmm.
And then discipline, you got to discipline with the peace of God that surpasses all
the peace of God. That's
people
right.
Won't figure it out. Boy, if that was my child, I would have done this or so.
Oh, yeah.
But see, not only is he your child, he's only your child for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
He's God's child. Wow. And the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And I don't care if they're 5 or 50. If they're anointed of God, that message was to you. Then you wonder why stuff starts shaking strangely in your house. Glory to God.
Well, you know, Bishop, you can restructure this whole thing, and like you were saying, pass it on. Pass it down to your child, your children, and your children's children. We can put an axe to this right now and change the course of things. Where your child would have done something, you know, out of anger, out of retaliation to you.
That's right.
And he ends up in the lockup, and then he calls you and he wants you to come and spend your retirement and get him out. Not so.
No, they got themselves into that. They wouldn't listen.
Yes,
see,
yes,
and tell I love you. Sometimes love means a no.
A no. That's
sometimes
right.
Love. Sometimes discipline means no.
Mhm.
I can't let you do that. I can't do this for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but I love you. And
mm-hmm.
something has to stop the cycle of violence.
The cycle has to stop. That's right. That's right.
Me bailing you out is not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So what
the seed you sow is the crop
yes.
you grow.
Yes.
And if you grow it, hallelujah. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
That's what little Melvin says.
But anyway, our time is up. We got to get out of here and get ready for the Women's Fellowship. But bottom line, y'all, discipline starts with ourselves.
Yes.
And don't discipline any child, anyone, out of love. Or as a knee-jerk reaction. Don't discipline a person with anger. Your emotions are out of control. Your flesh is red hot. You knee-jerk reaction. Love is the first thing you ought to be thinking about when you talk about discipline.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. Minister Jerry, I really appreciate
yes,
you and what you do and your add to
Amen.
This men's fellowship. And we'll see you next month, hopefully. Same
yes.
time, same station. God bless you, sir.
Yes, sir. Same to you, Pastor.
Amen. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord, our strength and our redeemer, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bluetooth connected.
Won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, His presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. And through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
Hallelujah. Stay tuned for the Women's Fellowship. Same channel, same station. Hallelujah. I know it's going to be an awesome Holy Ghost-filled, packed Women's Fellowship. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Hallelujah. It will be coming up in just a few moments. God bless you.
truth to me. I'm living inside of me, joyfully. God, not following the crowd. He's wrong. That's not what life's about. One.
And my guest speaker tonight, that will be hosting tonight with me, is Elder QB Stevenson. And are you there, Elder?
Yes, I am. Ready and happy to go.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Dr. Berry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear Elder Stevenson?
Yes, I can.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And our subject tonight was discipline, Pastor. Did you, and you and Minister Jerry just talked all about it and all, but there's some more that can be added.
Yes.
And we'll open up in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this day, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in this day, Father. We praise your name, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to bless every listener. Bless the homes, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, we ask you to lead, God, bless, and direct. Lord God, give the parents strength, Lord God, to do how you would want them to do, what you would want them to do, and how you would want them to to govern their houses and their children. Give them strength, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord God, to speak through us tonight, Lord God, with accuracy and boldness and in the word of God, in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Elder QB, I have been so moved and disturbed in my heart by what I've been seeing on television with the violence in the schools, with the children not respecting the teachers, fighting each other, just seem like this gets running amok. And I know that it would not be like that if the decisions back in 1962 in the courts would not, if they had not said that prayer was banned from schools. And I'm thinking, look, you know what? And I remember a sermon from a church that we both attended years ago, and that pastor said, before prayer was taken out of school, the problem was throwing spitballs and running in the hall.
Yes.
And we are so far from that today.
Yes,
the problems today, murder, drugs, bringing weapons to school, fighting the teacher, that's something you would not have even thought of, raising your hand to a teacher. Just rape in the school, rape even the teachers. And I know that if prayer was still in the school, we had the problem that we had prior to schools before prayer was taken out, we would probably, the Baltimore City schools would probably have to turn away teachers because they'd probably be running over with teachers versus not having enough and also having to close down schools because we don't have enough children in the schools. The children dropped out in for various reasons. And one woman that we were always told was Madeline Murray O'Hara that took prayer out of schools or whatever. She was a person that was behind that. But if one person can take them out, let's say one person took them out, I believe there's something that can be done to get it back in there. Even if they just said, well, every school, everybody, we don't have a moment of silence. Every class, the classrooms, the day start off with a moment of silence. Pray to whomever you want. You do whatever you want to do in that moment of silence. But I believe if God is reverenced, it will make a difference.
Yes,
it would make a difference. Elder QB, I was raised up in a household that my mama believed in spanking. And she even made us quote scripture. And I remember her saying, well, I know she was, when my young sister gets spanked, and I know my husband said that's not even scripture, but it's in paraphrase. Spare not the rod, spoil the child. All while she whipping. Spare not the rod, spoil the child. And may you quote the scripture while she beating you. And then sometimes you say, well, this is going to hurt me more than it hurt you. Then you know what you want, and you want to say, well, go on and hurt yourself. You know? Don't beat me, beat yourself. You know? And, I mean, we got spanked with the switch from off the phone, and there was a bush in our backyard where the switches came from. There, the belt, my dad wore a leather belt, and I was told, he told one of my sisters, go give me that shoe so I can try it on you. Hey, I was next to the baby. So my big sisters could tell me, Peaches, don't do such and such, because daddy's going to get you, or mom's going to get you. And I would listen. So I might have gotten four beans in all of them because I was too scared to do anything.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. But I miss my heart's cry for prayer to go to be back in school. But, Elder Keith, I want to ask you some questions. What type of discipline did you have when you were coming up, and did it affect the way you discipline your children? And did you raise them the same way? I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. You can talk about any of them that you want to talk about. And how can we get prayer back in school? And how can we, I guess, arm the parents today how can we arm them with boldness of not disciplining their children? Because I've had a child to say, oh, y'all know your parents can't touch you, right, because you can call 911. Oh, my goodness. And, I mean, this child had the audacity to say that because the judicial system has allowed them to know that or to think that they have all of these rules and they have all this backing, and it has proven to be seem like the truth, because the parents have been arrested for correcting their child, disciplining their child, and all of this, and it has made the parents afraid. It has made them like throw in the towel, like go do whatever you want to do. I can't do nothing with you, and this and that. And the children today have so much more than the children of many, many years ago, because now if you send them to their room, you're punished. They have the TV, the Xbox, the PlayStation, they can put the things on their ear, the Oculus, they can put the thing on their ears and talk to their friends or across the country, play games with them, play games with people that you don't even know, you don't even see. You have a phone that you can see everything, you know. And so, therefore, it's just like a lot of the parents feel as if their hands are tied. I can't do anything with them. I can't. And then if you put them out of the house, you're still responsible for them until a certain age, and the police can get them, bring them back, and say, this is your responsibility. But yet and still, they have taken, seem like, the authority away from you when it comes to you disciplining them, because then you are locked up, and the child can run amok in the house.
Exactly.
Please help. It's like, oh my gosh. And there's a couple of scriptures I looked up, and one was Proverbs 13 talked about sparing the rod. It said, if you spare the rod, you don't love your child. And Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart. And believe it or not, Proverbs 23:13-14 talks about if you beat them, they won't die. Oh my gosh! But we have come away from so much of the scripture. We need to we had to have the Holy Ghost to rightfully divide the word, so that we are disciplining them correctly, and it's almost like we have to, the saints of God feel as if they have to conform to the world's way of disciplining their children, so that they aren't locked up. They have become afraid of the way they're supposed to discipline them, and it's almost like they're ready to, even the ones in the church, feel like, how can I discipline my child and still stay in the will of God? And how can I still show my child that I love them and not allow them to run amok? Because that is love. When we correct our child, when we talk to them over and over and over again until you blue in the face, it's love. And sometimes it takes years for it to seem like penetrate that child's mind. What my mom was telling me is the truth. But when we don't want our children to learn the hard way, we don't want them to have to experience what we're telling them. It is hard because people say, "Oh, well, no, girl, experience the best teacher." No, it's the hardest. It's the most costly. It's the most costly teacher because you don't want them to go out there and suffer, and you don't want them to go out there and learn the hard way. Because a lot of times when they go out there and do what you tell them not to do, you end up paying the cost. You don't want to have to go out there and get and pay the bail. You don't want to have to, if the girl comes back home pregnant, have some dude that she thought loved her, pat on the head, and she's, oh, I mean, she just goes, oh, he loved me. You the one got to take care, buy the papers, be up at night helping your daughter walk the floor and stuff like that, and the boy going about his business. But you told your daughter, no, don't do this. It's like, oh, please, Where do we start, Elder Kibi? Where do we start?
Well, first of all, everything that you've mentioned is definitely what's going on today. But my comfort is going back to the Word of God. I, too, was brought up the way you were as well. But our parents used the Word of God to give us boundaries, to give us nuggets of information and learnings. And we were more respectful. We may not have liked what was said to us, but we respected the mouth that it came out of, and we loved them. Even if we got spiked, we did not have an attitude, did not carry a grudge. But today, revelation is being fulfilled, that our children will be weaker and wiser. I have 13 grandchildren, and they are a handful at different levels and different places. When there was a day I just looked at them, and I was overwhelmed. I said, Lord, how do I protect them? How do I get through to them? And by being an ex-teacher, retired teacher, it was more so in my spirit, what can I do for my own personal kids?
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had to go to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But the Word of God tells you everything that you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the verse says, train up a child in the way he should go.
Yes.
Train them up when you have them at your knee.
Mm-hmm.
We can still put food in their mouth. You can put the Word of God in their mouth. They can see you up close how you're living. And you're telling them all the time, this is what God wants for you because you're precious and you're valuable. And it's like I told Justin one time, he said, Ma, how do you know? As I was giving him a lecture on something. And he didn't say it disrespectfully, but he just said, well, how do you know? And I had to look around and see where was the bridge that brought me over because it was burned. The world did not live by those rules and regulations anymore. And that's when I felt, oh, my God, let me go to my room and pray.
Mm.
How to get through children today.
Mm.
To let them know I love them, I care for them, this is what God wants, but we still have boundaries. A lot of times you feel like you're out of step or you're old-fashioned.
Yeah.
We all have to go back to the old-time way, even with our daily living.
Yeah.
We have to find ways to break it down, to let them know, Mommy and Daddy loves you, different people in your lives love you, relatives, neighbors next door, your teachers. So they would not tell you anything wrong. You have to keep on being repentant over and over again, letting them know that your life matters, and I'm here. The things that I say to you, I'm here to represent them.
Mm.
Back in the day, we were to be seen and not heard. Today, we want to take the time to listen to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have two ears and one mouth. It's a different day. Sometimes they will tell you things that is really hair-raising. But you have to keep a poker face and let them know, is that right? And then you find a way to break down the Word of God and give it to them at their level. A 2-year-old or a 4-year-old, you wouldn't say the same thing as you would to a 12-year-old. But you have to train your mouth with prayer. Lord, how do I break this world down to them to let them know what you want, what I expect, and that they're valuable? And in this life, if you don't have a good foundation, you will go amok. You will end up like everybody else. But because you are my child, because I'm teaching that God is love and that you're valuable, and I'm here to help you be your best self, believe me and trust me, you will come out so much better than your friends. Peer pressure is great.
Mm-hmm.
I have a child that I know of. They came home crying simply because they didn't have the latest phone. They were bullied by the kids at school,
mm-hmm.
and they were really upset. We may think that's trivial, but it's heavy to them.
Mm-hmm.
Peer pressure is heavy. But if we don't put them in the Word of God, the way we live, the things we say, the boundaries we give them, monitoring the things that they do, letting them know this is not acceptable, and telling them why. And it is repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to be a private detective sometimes to see the things that they're doing. Because they're very good and sneaky at doing the things that they know you don't want them to do. But some way, somehow, you have to go in your prayer room, bathroom, wherever, and say, Lord, help me. And there's one verse my mother had in the kitchen with her 6 kids. Thou should not kill. And we knew what that meant. She would get you good. And my mom was an usher at the church, and her eyes were always on you.
Mm-mm-mm.
All this respect. respect for elders, respect for your parents, and even respect yourself as a person, to be a leader and not a follower. Some way, somehow, because we are pressing into the Lord, we travail for our children. We're asking God for the wisdom that we need in this time period.
Mm-hmm.
They're dancing to a completely different drumbeat than we did.
Yes.
We can't withstand them, the things that they come up against. When I was teaching in the classroom, a lot of little kids came to school with a lot of baggage. I had one little kid, 4 years old, in my preschool program. Late every day. I said, Johnny, why are you late every day? And he said, well, I had to get up and fix my mother some oodles and noodles, give her some Kool-Aid, and then see my little brother did this, that, and the other. And then I come and I walk down the streets to school.
Ooh.
I couldn't believe it. 4 years old.
Ooh.
With so much baggage because the parent was either drinking or was on drugs.
Ooh.
And then one child even got hold to some grass that was in a cookie. I think they can put narcotics and cookies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The child and the dog had overdosed because they thought they were cookies.
Oh,
this is an everyday life experience.
Mm.
You just have to be aware of it and ask the Lord for wisdom. And there were times that I would anoint my hands. And then when I went to school, I would just touch little Johnny and little Mary. How are you doing today? Is that right? Sometimes they would come to school upset because the parents are rushing. They throw them out of the car almost.
Mm.
Or they didn't want to wear that outfit that day. But if you can give them a loving ear.
Mm.
And that is across the board with every age.
Mm.
Sometimes the principle is the same whether it's for a 2-year-old or a 15-year-old. But you need the wisdom of the Lord. You always base your wisdom in the Word of God. God will give you exactly what you ask for. He said you have not because you ask not. And because our children are our seed, they're our next generation. Mm. We have to love on them and nurture them in tender, loving care. And we don't know how. We have, no one has ever been in this time period that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we need the Word of God to be the light unto our path. And if we have family prayer, even with my kids, I would teach them how to pray, and then it was their turn to pray. Someone different had to lead the prayer each night. And they can say whatever they want, but I taught them to respect the Lord, believe the Lord is there. And even when you're with your little friends, before you punch them in the eye, say, that's not a nice thing to do. You're supposed to be my friend. Try to reason with them. Fighting was not the solution result. You try to talk to them and let them know that that person was valuable to you. And it worked sometimes. Of course, mm-hmm. didn't always. But this is the way they came out the barn, with love, with kind words. And sharing. I said, share your snack with your friend. You know, do something nice with them, especially the one you want to win over.
Mm-hmm.
Even in my classroom, when I had a child that was very difficult, that's the one child that was my project. I would find his hot button, find out what he liked. I would talk about it. I would give him a special homework. Was just if he liked sport cars, I would do something special with his homework and let him have a little sports car by the end of the week so he could look forward to it. Look into his eyes and tell him, you know what? You are a fantastic young man. You're handsome today. What do you want to be when you grow up? Go beyond just the face of the position that you're in, whether you're a parent, teacher, or friend. Knowing that that's a diamond child, and you only have a window of time to plant that seed. So do it well and water it well. Always with love, always with the Word of God, and always with understanding. And pray on your part first
mm-hmm.
so you know how to deliver to them. When God pours into you, you can pour into them, and they will pour into others.
Mm. That is awesome. I really enjoyed it on the QB. And I was thinking, when we were coming up, I don't know about the church that you came up in, but we had a long time ago, a lot of churches had Sunday school.
Yes.
And believe you me, when I was younger, when I was little, our day, because we were, and even in Sunday school, our Sunday school was at 9:30, and they called roll in Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, we were there for a roll call. In Sunday school at 9:30 in the morning, and my mom or sisters fried chicken on Saturday, and dinner was after Sunday school. If we service started like at 12 o'clock marching in, and from 3 o'clock, maybe 3:30, church was out. Stayed at church all day long, and then we had night service. And between and night service. There was a class called Young People's Willing Work, YPWW, at 7.
Yes.
And I remember James Cleveland made a song, "We Don't Do That No More, No More." We used to go to church on Sunday and stay there all day long. We don't do that no more. And you know what? Our village has shrunken because the Sunday school teacher, the older women at church, the elders, they was part of our village.
Right. Exactly.
That was yes, they was a part of the village. And we had to respect. I'm the youngest, next to the youngest of eight. I had to respect my big sisters like I had to respect my mother and father.
Yeah,
and they had the authority to whack me, spank me, talk to me, just like, and I wasn't supposed to hit them back. I ain't saying I did or didn't, but I wasn't supposed to hit them back. But a lot of our villages have shrunken. So how do the children get the word? Something has to take place. A Sunday school. A lot of churches don't have Sunday school anymore. And then sometime through the week. And now look at since the last 2 years of the pandemic, a lot of churches have closed. Some of them have opened back up. Some of them have closed totally. Some of them haven't opened back up. So where does that leave us teaching the children, Kibi? Elder Kibi?
I believe parents have to come together on one accord, discuss exactly what you're saying, and come up with a plan to reunite our children back, first for the family loving, teaching, and then going beyond. But we need help. No man is an island. All parents want to see their children doing well, but there's got to be a system to it. If the parents will come together, pray first, then have a plan where we can share the skills with the children, either going from house to house or small program for children, doing the old-fashioned things that we used to.
All right.
And I heard you say one more thing about how do we get prayer back in school.
Yeah.
When I was in school, I even had some parents that would agree to come to school early and pray before school started.
Wow.
Because PTA is non-existent now.
Ooh.
But if you get agreement among parents who love their children, I'm not saying it's easy, but let them know that that is their future. You can go out and buy a lot of items because you picked up a part-time job. Why not bring it home? Bring that time slot home. I used to tell my parents, take a half a day off and come see what I'm doing with your child. Come into the classroom. Help me out. I need you. The children need to see the parents around contributing and helping out. But it's got to be people of like minds. We've got to sell the idea to the parents that your children are valuable. Let's do it together. Let's do it with prayer. Do the things that we can do. Start on a small scale. Even in the summertime, doing some type of a camp, something that's non-intimidating. Parents take turns doing things like this together and talking to the children. We've got to get out of our comfort zone and extend ourselves into the future of our kids. The devil has a plan for our kids. We had better get one as well.
How do we handle that strong-willed child? That child, no matter, oh my gosh. I remember one day, my former supervisor pulled me up because a parent went to her and told her, I guess that she heard me raise my voice at a child. And in school-age child care where I was working, we were not allowed to even raise our voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the fifth time I had spoken to this child. But that fifth time, my voice went up. But they said, well, you aren't supposed to raise your voice. And I had to share, and I shared it with my supervisor. It was the fifth time I spoke to this child. And so therefore, even when if we were to see a child get ready to stab another child with a pair of scissors, this was the rule. We would, oh, no, darling, don't you know? If you hit that, if you hit him with those scissors, you're going to make him bleed. This is how we were taught to talk. No, I know what not. Please. You some things you can't count to 10 before you say. Oh, my God.
And I have had some strong-willed children. And I have made it my assignment to sit them down and talk with them. Say, how's things going? What would you like to be? Well, try to not be the teacher, but be more like a friend so I could understand their heart and their mind. And then when I heard those kind of things, I would capitalize on it. And maybe bring in a book in, bring in an activity or some other way I could show them special attention. If you do X, Y, Z, you can help me do this because you're being a very good role model. I would try to enforce that as much as I could. Mm. And then give him a buddy. If he was responsible for somebody else doing the right thing, then I had two people. Then, believe it or not, they would start telling the rest of the kids, if Cuba doesn't like that, let's do this. We're going to do that. And then I had an award system where I would give them the opportunity to stand in front of the room to talk about whatever they would like. But it always had to be a learning situation. And if there was a skill that needed to be taught, I didn't single that child out. I used it as a lesson. I would get my puppets out, teach that skill, let them understand what was right and what was wrong about it. Then they had an opportunity also to come up with the puppet and do something else. The thing is distracting them or putting your mind someplace else. But always, always letting them know you care about them. But this is the right thing to do, and this is the wrong thing to do. And give them an opportunity. Now, what do you think would be the best thing for you if you want to do X, Y, Z? What would further be the cause of what you're trying to do? Would that ingratiate a friend or push your friend away? And in my classroom, I always taught them, we are a family here. We work together, and I need you, and you need me. I still use Christian principles, mm-hmm. but I didn't. In a lesser way that it didn't sting. And I let them repeat it, let them help me make up the rules and regulations, and a lot of times they chastise each other.
Mm.
And it took a lot of the sting out of it for me. And I also taught sign language. If you know sign language, you don't have to talk. They know what that symbol means. And, of course, the mommy look always helps.
I tell you, being a woman, being a mom, being over children, you wear so many hats.
Definitely.
And so many times I found my office at work, thank God when I was working, that office you had sometimes the door had to be closed and you had to talk to a parent that was crying. You had to be the counselor, the disciplinary for the children. Yes, you had to wear so many hats, even things that was not in your job description.
Exactly.
And things that your supervisor never ever found out that you did because you love your job. You may have to, you know, if you knew a parent that was going for a new job and didn't have a uniform, you slipped a couple of dollars so you can go buy the uniform. Somebody, and you know, some child that, you know, that was hungry, and when they went home, there was nothing going to be there. So, you know, if your place had the dinner program, the supper program, you wrapped up the rest of it and sent it home with the mom without anybody knowing it, you know, sneaking to the mother. You know, it's just so much you're doing. And because children are faced with so much, and you're faced with so much, and you're in the midst of it, and it's just like, good Lord, how in the world do you know? And you can't that child, that problem child. You see that mother coming in and fussing at that you know the child. You know what you had dealt with that child in the afternoon already, and then that mother comes in. She sees a speck of dirt on a child, and this is the truth. There was a parent that her child, if her child had one speck of dirt on his tennis shoes, she fussed and cussed them out. How do you even handle a situation like that? What do you share with the parent, or do you share love with their child when the next day when that child comes in, if that child comes in the next day, because I had a child and I figured that when that child missed school, whatever, that mother had beat that child and he had to keep the child home for the wound to heal.
Yeah.
And so therefore, how do you, don't cross that line, you know, of letting the parent know what you did or that you know what's going on, but you But because so many times you're in the midst, and there's been times when I have known of things going on, or God would drop things in my spirit, and the only thing you could do was pray. What do you do when you see that child again? You know how.
And even a sexual offense with children, you can know about something or have suspicion.
Yes. Yes.
How do you handle that? It's
yes.
going to break your heart.
Yes.
So praying continuously, staying within the guidelines, finding someone in the school staffing that could aid you and not be so harsh, but do some investigation where you're not pointing the finger, but you need to look at this situation. But always with a loving heart to the parent, the child, whoever is going through, because they're already traumatized. If we can show the light of Christ, even in the tone of our voice, doing something special, all the things that you said, sometimes slipping food to them, even a garment, even putting an arm around them, looking them in their eyes and say, you know, you're precious, and where you are is not where you're going to always be. These are times that you can spread the word of God in their hearts and their minds. And I remember pulling a parent into, we had cookies back in the day, and this mother praying with their parent and letting them know, this too shall pass, and you're worth it. I said, you're one bookend and I'm the other, and we're going to do this together. You're not alone. People need to know that you see them and that they're not alone. This will go down or flow down to the children. There are times you have a little family meeting right there. And I waited for Grandparents Day to come up as well, so they could bring their grandparents in, so they could talk about how they were back in the day. And then bring in the cookies that they made or, you know, couldn't bake, or even stories that they had when they were children, to let them see, this is family. If you get old enough, you're going to be a grandparent. But everybody's life matters. We're in here together. We help each other. It's not easy at all. Sometimes I have actually gone and sat in my car and cried at lunchtime for things that were going on that I could not do anything about, but I could pray. It gave me a different frame of mind. I went back with a smile on my face, and I had another avenue of learning that I could use in that situation. And he will not leave you alone. Whatever you ask for, he will do it. And I believe that parents and teachers are definitely close to God's heart, just like mothers, because those who take care of his children, he has a special love for them because they're precious.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So many times when you're working with children at the end of the day, because of so much you see, your heart can just be, when you just go home, your heart just be so heavy, you know. And I was told that when I hear of a situation, I have to immediately give it up to the Lord, because it can paralyze you. You can have so much and see so much and be around and just so much. I mean, especially if you have 20, 30, 10 children, 10, 20, 30, and each one of them have a different situation and a different, I mean, and you see different families. And a lot of the children that I've seen, it wasn't mom and dad even picking them up. It was, besides mom and dad, it was uncles, mom's boyfriend. They always uncle.
That's why they never had their homework or the book bags because they were at somebody else's house.
Right. And then we had to help the children in the afternoon with homework, and the parent was supposed to sign and never had a signature because mom never saw it, because right wherever we ended the homework, that's how I went to school the next day. If there was five problems and we didn't get any further than number three, when the child came back, that's where it was, number three. Nobody helped the child at home or anything, you know? And it's like you really have to give situations to the Lord and just, offer those children's names and everything up to the Lord, because it can weigh so heavy on you that you, and I remember laying in the bed at night and calling out the children's names to the Lord and said, oh, God, please help that mother raise that child and help this and call in children's names out. And I had to learn how to leave the job at the job.
That's so
because
true.
It will.
Carry it.
Yes. it will weigh so heavy on you and all. But I have one last question, and how can a parent discipline a child today without the spanking? Because we know how society feels about the spanking, and being, what can they do to refrain from the spanking, but still get that message across? And because the children have so much in their bedroom now, you can't even send them to the room because everything's there.
It is. Well, there's times like that you have to take things away from the child.
Okay.
You sit them down and you do a heart-to-heart talk. And you know what I found I did in the classroom is give the child my testimony when I was a child, what I did and did not do, and the occurrence of things that were negative and positive. And you just want better for them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes have a little fun with it. You know, I used to do X, Y, Z. My mother didn't catch me. I would even tell them about eating candy. I said, you know you're going to eat that piece of candy that's under your pillow. But this is what you do. After you eat it, go in the bathroom and brush your teeth before you go to sleep so that sugar won't be in your teeth. Okay, because you only take care of the teeth that you want to keep, okay? Or find ways to be humorous with it, because children want to see the love. They want to feel the love. And sometimes we can do it in the things that we say, how we handle them, and drop little principles of life along with that. Make it a little funny, but stern, as do what the Bible says. Speak the truth in love. And those who win souls are cunning and wise. And that means you have to go to Christ for that type of wisdom. We're living in a day that we've never seen before, but our children are more precious to us now than ever before.
That's the truth. Oh, my goodness. And so many times, you know, and you never know the impression that you put on a child's heart or put on their mind, you know, but if they have so many people around them that's beating them down in the world, by itself being bullying them and them being beat down, and you, if you're that one person in their life that gives them a smile and that lets them know that they're loved, and I mean, the smile that you give them may be the only smile that they get. Your encouragement words may be the only encouragement word that they get. You know, when we were taught that we couldn't even hug the children anymore. You have to like stand beside them and put your arm around his shoulder, you know, pat them like that. That may be the only affirming pat or the only affirming hug that they get and all, but they will remember it. Hallelujah. And Elder Kiwi, I appreciate you being on here with me tonight. I appreciate all of your input. And I tell you, how many years have you had with children before you retired?
Well, I started in Sunday school teaching, a peer teaching. Then I went into teaching. I taught over 30-some years. Plus, I'm a Christian clown. And I just have a situation that's go back to at my gym where I exercise on certain evenings. I'm going to use puppetry in the children's corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I choose to use positive principles and music so I can plant the old-fashioned way of children sitting down, finding friendship right there, and puppets doing the talking. But I plan on doing principles that way. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Thank God. Hallelujah. When you have an outfound, if you have a desire for the word of God, our God will give you a way to spread that word. And I thank God for you joining me tonight. Thank God for another opportunity to share and to spread the word of God. And we will continue to keep the children, not just of Baltimore City, but the children of the world in prayer. Hallelujah. And in the future, our church is planning on having every month that has a fifth Saturday, we will be having, or we are planning on having activities for the children, and we will continue. We will in the future allow everybody to know when those activities are. And parents, stay encouraged. Everybody, every teacher, stay encouraged. Every grandmother, grandparent, aunt, uncle that has a child under your wing, stay encouraged. There is hope, and God will give you the strength and the discipline and the wherewithal how to encourage that child and to deal with whatever situation comes up. Thank you so much, Elder Kiwi. God bless you.
Privilege.
Thank you.
And praise the Lord. We thank God for the Men's and Women's Fellowship on today. And if you would like a link to today's program, in other words,
to hear a recording of today's Men's and Women's Fellowship. You can donate any amount of money, a dollar or whatever, to the GoFundMe page at GoFundMe.com. You know Your Mind Ministries, Inc., and you'll see us there, and anywhere from $1 to $1 million. And we will send you a link to today's program. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
We love you. Thank you, Elder T.V. Stevenson. Thank you, Pastor Peaches.
You're welcome.
Awesome, awesome program. God bless you real good. We love you, and God loves you too. Hallelujah.
You can't do nothing about it.
Amen.
Amen, and that's right. You can do nothing about it.
It is.
And his love empowered me to see God go on. That's wonderful to see. His woman for all the world to see. Him living inside of me.
Thank you.